The work week is here. Let's begin with your Monday market preview with Jeff Sherman and Dave Spano. Working for it all, but it's money, money.
It's money, money. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman, joined by Dave Spano, CEO at Annex Wealth Management. Dave, how was your weekend?
It's pretty good. Joining from the phone today. Hopefully, I sound okay on your line.
I think you're coming through pretty clear on my side. I appreciate it.
Okay.
So, according to the Federal Reserve Bank of Atlanta's latest GDP now forecast, Dave, it seems like the economy is kind of setting up to take a step back in the first quarter. And how do you align this discrepancy between forecasts and all the economic indicators that we're seeing? How reliable are the Federal Reserve Bank's forecasts?
Well, you know, the Fed is usually out in front, and we do watch them because they do have their finger on the pulse, but you really have to look at that. And, of course, we saw it, and it was negative 1.5% is the projection for Q1. Obviously, that's going to get everybody's attention, right?
Right.
Because two back-to-back quarters of negative GDP is a recession. But this is what we did. We took a look at it, and what we found is the preliminary trade data showed a record surge of goods imported into the U.S. Why? Because companies are trying to get ahead of the administration's tariff threats. So they went out and bought a lot of things before that. So when you have a lot of imports, that lowers GDP. And so that was the big difference. So we were humming along at about a positive 2.3. All of these huge import numbers came in, have taken that down to a negative number. But, Jeff, that's mm-hmm. not the whole story, because when you have all of that, when you have all of those goods come in, what happens is there's two things that are probably going to come out in the rest of the story. Number one, if it gets put on their books as inventory, that's positive to GDP. Or number two, you know, some retailer bought a bunch of stuff from, say, China, and now they sell all of those things. That's a positive for GDP. So what we're seeing as a negative pull forward from these imports may end up being positive in Q2 or Q3. So we're saying, let's just see what really comes out of this thing. But it really came from a surge of imports, and that came from a lot of economic reports.
Yeah. And so how does the forecast impact interest rates and monetary policy moving forward then?
Yeah, great question. So, you know, the Fed meets on March 19th in a few weeks, and very likely we're going to hear it's just too soon to tell, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because inflation is slightly above where they want to be, you know, 2.5%. So very likely Powell is inclined to just say, we're going to pause. We're not going to turn around and hike, right, because inflation is slightly higher. They're just going to pause their rate cutting. And so, and the other thing he said, which was I found really interesting, is his mandate, the Federal Reserve's mandate, is not growth. GDP is not one of their mandates.
Hmm.
It's inflation control, right, and employment. So if their mandate is about employment and keeping employment where it's at, that is more of their forecast. So, and you think about it, the temporary swings in growth, either before or after, generally don't come out in the labor market, because so you have a bunch of employees and you had a bad quarter or a bad two quarters. That doesn't mean you're going to let everyone go in those first two quarters.
Right.
You work your way through. So a good labor market is more telling than moves in GDP.
You always got to keep an eye on all the moving parts. So when we come back, I've seen a lot about asset-based debt. I want to ask you, Dave, you know, you look back to 2008, it mm-hmm. wasn't good for the economy. So I want to get your insights on what's happening now. Dave Spano, CEO at Annex Wealth Management. This is The Upswing. You are listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. Hope your Monday is off and running well today. So, Dave, I'm seeing a lot of talk about Wall Street getting creative and selling securities backed by about everything again. Wall Street expects to sell more than $335 billion in asset-backed debt this year. Should we be worried as consumers about this?
Well, all right. So first of all, let's go back to where you set up before the break, which yes. was so true. I remember very clearly September 15th, 2008. You know, and I won't forget that day. That's the day that things really started to fall apart. Remember Lehman Brothers failing and this cascading failure of financial institutions that followed that. Certainly concerning. You know, the dollar was breaking the buck, as they say. In fact, you know, it was your money market was not holding its value. I mean, it was a mess. And a big part of that came from all of these unsecured mortgages or mortgages to those who couldn't afford them, who then the banks took those bad mortgages, put them in a product, and then sold them to Wall Street. And then Wall Street ironically sold them back to you and I in our 401k plan. So that was a big flipping mess, right? Right. We don't want to go through that again. So what you're talking about is asset-based debt. So it's based by an asset. And that's everything. I mean, they're turning around and selling, as you said, from, you know, credit cards and airplanes and golf carts and so on and so forth. But there's an asset there. And so that's called private credit. Everyone knows about private equity. The PE firms are coming in. But that's equity. That's owning part of it. Private debt is the other part of that, and they're lending against those things. And so should we be concerned about it? If you think about the $330 billion that's out there, that is in a market of $7 trillion in corporate investment-grade financing. So it's a small percentage, but there's no doubt that all the brokerage firms now are talking to their clients about private debt because it's slightly higher interest rate, but with that interest rate goes higher risk. So what we don't want to see is the bottom fall out, right?
Right. And obviously the banks then kind of make a bet that these loans won't default, right?
That's exactly right. I mean, that's the whole thing is to underwrite this debt, and it's an asset. So let's assume that they don't make their payment. Then the bank gets that asset. Just think about it as a home mortgage. If you don't make your mortgage payment, they then have the lien on your house, and then they can take your house, and then they can sell it. So it's at least backed by an asset. Does that asset hold value? And like you said, if it's an airplane or a car, what's the underlying asset value? And that's where all of these PhDs and economists and Wall Street PE guys, that's what they're looking at. What's the asset if things hit the fan?
All right. Finally here, I wanted to get your take quickly on the value of the dollar and how we should think about it and just it can crystallize just why it's important to keep an eye on the value of the dollar overseas.
Yeah, it really is. And so, you know, people say, is it undervalued? Is it overvalued? Anytime you look at any currency, Jeff, you have to compare it to something, right? That's how you take a look at currencies. And so, if you say relative to what? Relative to the dollar 4 years ago? Well, yeah, it certainly has changed. But remember, that dollar doesn't buy as much that it did 4 years ago because of inflation. Mm-hmm. And so even though it's strengthened relative to 4 years ago prices. Or is it strong compared to other currencies? China or, for example, the Mexican peso or the Canadian dollar? Yes, that has changed value. Why? Because of the threat of tariffs, and that has been an issue. So why is the dollar important is because we trade with that. And especially when it comes to commodities, Jeff, 90% of commodities in the world are priced in U.S. dollars. And so a strong dollar could push commodity prices. Think oil, for example. That has a big part of that. So this Trump's aggressive plan to, you know, to shake up U.S. trade is important because it's moving the dollar. So if the dollar goes down 4%, but tariffs go in, you know, a 10% tariff, does it really work out? And it does. And so we're not manipulating our currency like China does, but there could be a movement in currency prices.
But always a tricky balancing act. Appreciate your time, Dave.
Thank you.